I'm very thankful to be here. I count it a privilege to be part of you by the grace and blood of Jesus. And it's Him that we desire tonight to have the preeminence in everything that we do. So I ask for your prayers that the Lord would bless His word to us by the anointing of His Spirit. I'd like to begin this evening in Numbers, the 21st chapter. Numbers chapter 21, beginning in the fourth verse. It says, "And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died." Whenever we read a story like this and consider that the children of Israel and all of God's dealings and His workings with them and bringing them through the wilderness, and yet so many times they forgot Him and began to murmur and complain, and it wasn't just they were having a bad day. They were murmuring against God Himself. It wasn't just Moses. He said they murmured against God and Moses. "Lord, I don't know about your way. Lord, why are you bringing us by this way?" Certainly it was the Lord's hand, having brought them as far as He had. But they came to a place where they said, "Lord, we're not satisfied with your way." How many times throughout time has mankind come to the place to say, "Lord, I'm not satisfied with your way"? They began to murmur against God and began to sin against Him. And we look at the penalty of that and think, how harsh. Can you imagine being there this evening? Can you imagine after a time like that and you begin to look around and say, what is this? And you begin to see out of every bush, I can imagine serpents beginning to come out. Maybe you have different reactions tonight to serpents. But I know pretty well what mine is, and it's not a place I'd want to be. Whenever the serpents begin to, and maybe you try to get away from one, and you look, and there's another one right over there. You turn, and you try to go another direction, and everywhere around you are serpents. And then you begin to hear the cries of those who are suffering the sting, of those who are starting to feel the effects of the venom, crying out in pain. The Lord sent and allowed the serpents, sent the serpents into the camp. And it said that many people died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that He take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people. I'm so thankful that there's a God in heaven who will hear the cry of a repentant people, who will look down on a people who acknowledge and realize, "Lord, we have rebelled and sinned against You. And the things that are happening, Lord, it's for none other cause but our own and our own doing. Lord, have mercy upon our soul." But I'd like to consider for a little while this evening the penalty that they had to pay. It was death for many of them. It was death that was brought about by their disobedience and their sin against God. So I'd like for us to back up in time a little bit to the beginning. We'll maybe come back here to Numbers. Genesis, the second chapter. Passage we're familiar with says, the Lord's instruction to Adam. He said, "Of every tree," 16th verse, "of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." And the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." Well, we know the rest of the story. First verse of the next chapter says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. And whenever Eve was approaching a little too closely to that one tree that God said, don't go there, don't partake of that. There's an abundance everywhere else for you, but mankind's nature has always been to think that stolen waters are sweet. Bread eaten in secret is pleasant. That which is forbidden, that which isn't God's way, is the way that I want to go." And so they looked and beheld the fruit and looked at it, and it was pleasant for the eyes, and it looked like good fruit to behold, and the serpent began to speak. The serpent that was more subtle, it said, than any other creature. And he enticed her to partake of the fruit. And she was in that moment stung by the sting of the serpent. Not literally. But there was an effect of that serpent that she now felt that she hadn't before. And Adam, as he partook, there was something that began to course through their bodies. A venom, if you will, that began to take an effect upon them. It began to bring about a death in them. And so the Lord had told him, "In the day that you eat thereof, ye shall surely die." Mankind so often, and in our world today, is banding together and saying there is no moral absolutes. That it's all about relativism and whatever you think and whatever way that you want to live. But you know, the Lord was wanting to be very clear. I'm the one, if I can put it in my crude language, I'm the one that sets the rules. I'm the one that says this is the tree that you eat of, and that's the one that you don't eat of. And if you do, you don't have to. But the choice is yours, as the Lord has always desired of His creation. I want you to choose to serve me. I want there to be a decision. For if there was no tree in the middle of the garden, what choice would there be? What decision would there be? And so sin and temptation presented itself as the choice that's come down throughout time to all generations. Which tree will we pick from? It didn't take long for the venom to begin to work. It didn't take long for them to feel the effects and a flush of shame that came over them that they had never known before. A fear in the presence of God where they could not walk boldly where they had before. Where they had to hide themselves and try to cover somehow the shame and the sin and whatever this is that now I'm starting to feel in my body. Because I made a choice. And if you back up, the Lord warned them, it'll be that way. There's a scripture in Proverbs that says, "Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not go unpunished." It doesn't matter, though all men should not believe. The faith of God will not be made of none effect. Folks, He is the one that has given His law and His word for us to live by, and it is that word that will judge us in the last day. "Thou shalt surely die." And die they did. There was a death, a spiritual death that took place on them, within them. And there was something that they ushered into the world that's passed down through generation after generation. As by one man, sin entered into the world. And death by sin. For that all men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Mankind was born in the likeness and the similitude of Adam from that moment. Man needed a Savior. Man needed a way to be an anti-venom. Man needed an anti-venom to reverse the effects of the venom of sin. The penalty of it. You know, I see something throughout these instances that pointed to a time in the future. I'd like to look at what the Lord said to that serpent. The third chapter in the 14th verse. "And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust thou shalt eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Folks, there was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. There was a remedy that God set in place and in motion from the very beginning. It need not be so that mankind should fall from the place that I've ordained for them. But if they should, I've got an anti-venom. I've got a remedy for them. I've got a plan to reverse the effects of that death that'll begin to work in them. Oh, serpent, you've not seen the end of it. You'll have an effect. You'll be able to bruise her heel, the heel of the woman, or the seed of the woman, which was a prophecy of Jesus Christ. You'll be able to do what looked to the world like triumph over Jesus. But yet in that mistaken triumph came the greatest triumph of all. The anti-venom of sin was brought into effect and made available for all mankind. Thank the Lord for it. That decision has laid at the doorstep of every generation that's entered into this world since the time of Adam. And so it was told to Adam's son, Cain. Cain, if thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted also? But if you don't, it's conditional, Cain. This is your decision now. It's your choice now. I give you the same opportunity as I give to your brother. Equal opportunity to you both, but Cain, you're going to have to realize there's a penalty for making the wrong decision. You're going to have to realize, Cain, that sin lies at the door if you should make that decision and go down that path. I'd like to turn now to Romans, the 5th chapter. Romans chapter 5 and beginning with the 12th verse, the 11th. Not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Death passed on all men, for that all have sinned. Through one man's sin and his disobedience, death was passed upon all mankind. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Read in the following chapter, the last verse says, for the wages of sin is always death. The wages of sin, as it has been since the time that Eve first partook of that fruit, the penalty of that has been a spiritual death. Death that's passed on all mankind because of it. We read in 1 John chapter 1, some language that says something like this, for if any man say he have no sin, the truth is not in him. You know that what the Lord wants us to understand is that none of us are in a place that we are exempt of the need of a Savior. None of us can rise up and say, I have no need of a Savior. I'm a good enough person. I've lived a clean enough life. I've lived sufficient morality in my life to be able to pass the bar. No man can say that. No man can stand in the face of God and say, I have no need for the remedy. I have no need. That venom is not taken in effect upon me. No man can say that. We read scriptures also that saith, for there is none righteous, no, not one. Oh Lord, give us understanding of His word to rightly divide the word of truth. Under the penalty of the venom, there is none righteous, no, not one. But praise God, that's not the end of the story. The story didn't end there. It didn't end with saying all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's not the end of the story. Nor was it whenever the children of Israel began to see the serpents among them. Nor was that the end of the story. But they cried out to God for mercy. And the Lord looking down, it's what He desired. It's what He wanted to give them. And as they finally looked up and cried unto Him, He said, I'll make a way. But there's a penalty. There's a law of sowing and reaping. The wages of sin is death. And there's no exemption for that but by the shedding of blood. So God made a way throughout many generations that mankind could find a sort of atonement, a sort of reconciling between man and God, of the killing of sacrifices and the shedding of blood to atone for their sinful condition in the face of a holy and a righteous God. But I look at what the Lord instructed them to do here. Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Now before we comment further there, I'd like to turn to the third chapter of John. John chapter 3, the words of Jesus said, and as verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus was the fulfillment of what we see in type here. Whenever they told the people suffering the penalty of their own sins, paying an expensive price for their own sins that they had committed, and the Lord made a way. Why a brass serpent? The Lord made something in the image of the very thing that was causing their death and said, lift it up upon a tree, upon a pole, and whenever you look unto that, in obedience and faith, lifting your eyes unto the means of your salvation, the effects will be reversed. You'll not have to suffer death because of that sting. The scripture says He made Him, Jesus Christ. He made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin. There was no sin in Him. There was no guile within Him. But He took upon Him the form, the likeness of sin. The iniquities of us all were laid upon Him. He who was innocent and pure and righteous and holy, our iniquities and our sins were laid upon Him. You can read about the scapegoat in the Old Testament, where the penalty of the sins of the people were laid upon the scapegoat to go and bear those sins. So our Lord and our Savior bore our sins, the penalty of that we might be able to receive the anti-venom of His blood. There is a remedy tonight. He's made a way tonight whenever we feel the effects of the sting of sin. Whenever I begin to realize there's something happening. But you know, it gets to a point where it's taken its effect to the degree that it's shut down the nervous system. Then I've gotten to the point that I don't even realize the effect of it. Don't even realize the place that I'm really in. You know, it takes the mercy of the Lord to awaken us and open our eyes to realize our need of a Savior, our need of a Redeemer, that my own righteousness is as filthy rags. It's not adequate. It's not enough. In my own self, I'm not able to produce my own atonement here. All the self-help, all the New Year's resolutions, all the determination within myself is still falling short. I'm still not able to overcome and conquer it. But folks, the message of Jesus Christ tonight is a message of deliverance from sin. It's a message of freedom from sin. He'll raise us up to sit with Him in heavenly places. That we don't have to live in the serpent pit. We don't have to live bearing the effects of snake bites all over me and the process of death working in my body and in my spirit. We don't have to suffer that. Every one of us will feel that sting of sin. But oh, we can also, everyone, reach out and look up to Him that was lifted up. He said, "And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. He who was lifted up in the likeness of this serpent on the pole, made in the form of sin, to be made sin for us, to bear that for us, so that we can look on Him by faith and say, 'Lord, I claim that. Lord, I can't do it. Lord, I'm feeling the effects of this sin. But Lord, I believe. I believe in how easy it is to be distracted and look at the remaining serpents that are still slithering around.' But He says, 'Lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes unto the Redeemer.'" John chapter 1 and verse 29 said of Jesus, "Behold the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sins of the world." Thank the Lord today for the Lamb of God. I'd like to give you one other picture of that. Children of Israel, after having suffered the bondage of Egypt for over 400 years, when the Lord began to hear their groaning and their crying, He called Moses and said, "Moses, it's time. It's time I want to reach out and deliver my people." And so as we know the stories of the plagues that went forth, I'd like to consider that last plague of the death angel. Whenever the death angel was commissioned with such a horrific job to go around to all of the houses throughout Egypt, the Egyptians and the Israelites alike, to pass by every door and look, and if the proper atonement was not made, to go and pay the penalty of sin. Give you the scripture also in James that says, "Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. And lust, when it hath conceived, bringeth forth death. And death, when it is finished, brings what?" Or sin, when it is finished, brings death. That's where it always ends. That's always the penalty and the price tag of sin. So the angel began to go around door to door, but not until the Lord had already given fair warning, had already offered a remedy unto them to say, "You can escape the penalty of sin. You don't have to pay the price tag of that. Here's the way. Take the blood of a perfect lamb. Kill that lamb and take the blood of it and put it on the doorpost. And whenever I go to your door and I look upon that and I recognize that blood, I'll pass over it and I'll keep going." Folks, today Christ has become our Passover. He has become our atonement for sin today. That we can take the precious blood of Jesus, no matter how dark the stain, no matter how long the venom has been working in our soul tonight, we're able to look up unto Jesus and say, in simple faith, "Lord, help thou me. Lord, have mercy upon me and my condition and my state." And the blood of that perfect lamb still atones tonight. It's still giving atonement unto everyone that'll reach out and say, "Lord, the venom's working. Lord, have mercy." I'd like to look at John, the 5th chapter. 5th chapter of the book of John, and I'd like to read here in the 24th verse. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life." What's that called? Fred, you remember a song that says something like that? from death to life. What does verse 3 say? A resurrection, I confess, has taken place within my breast. Oh, those of us that the Scripture says in Ephesians chapter 2, you who were dead in your trespasses and sins. There was a spiritual death. Sin had taken its effect. It had taken its toll. There was a spiritual death to the things of God. No life within. But Jesus said here, there's a way to pass from a dead state to life again. There's a way where death once reigned. Remember when Ezekiel looked out and the Spirit brought him into the wilderness and showed him a valley that was full of dry bones. And lo, they were very dry. And he began to ask him, Ezekiel, can these bones live again? Oh Lord, thou knowest. You ever looked on situations around you and say, Lord, thou knowest. I look at people sometimes and say, Lord, what might their story be? Lord, what might you be able to do with them? He began to prophesy to them. They began to take form. They began to take the shape. But it wasn't finished. There was still life that had to be given. Folks, a form is not enough for us tonight. We can come conformed all on the outside. We can come to camp meeting. I can hold my hand up. But folks, it's a simple question tonight. Are you dead or alive? If you are yet in your trespasses and sins, you are spiritually in a dead state. But that need not be the end of the story. Those who are in death, those who are in a dead state. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Oh, may they that have ears to hear the word of the Lord tonight. Jesus said here, the time is coming, and it already is, under the ministry of Jesus Christ, that those who heard His word, oh, the power of His word tonight, whenever I look at a man possessed with legions of devils, by the word of Jesus Christ, what man had been unable to do, what the strongest chains had been unable to bind, Jesus, by His word, speaking in the authority of His word, death came to life. What had been dead was given new life again and restored to its right mind. They shall hear. They that hear shall live. Jesus once stood before a closed tomb and prayed a simple prayer. And then He said the words, Lazarus, come forth. And there was no option but for Lazarus to come forth. He who was able to reach beyond the pall of death, He who was able to reach beyond that point where no man can reach, was able to bring Him back and speak life into His body, what was already in the process of decay. Death had already taken its toll, was already working and bringing decay in His being. He stinketh by now. Yet by the power of Jesus' word, He spoke and He was raised. How does it happen? I don't know. But it happened to me, praise God. It happened to me where God spoke. And I looked up, as many of you have, to one that hung on the cross. And I hear that word echoing still down to me. This atonement's for you. That word is able to restore from death unto life. 1 Corinthians 15 speaks much of a resurrection. Those who said there is no resurrection of the dead, Paul was reasoning with them that if there is no resurrection, Christ be not raised, and your faith is in vain. If He be not raised, ye are yet in your sins. Folks, the Lord has not called us to a life of sin. He's not called us to a life of death. He's not, remember whenever He called Lazarus forth, Lazarus came and he appeared before Jesus and they said, unloose him. Folks, the Lord has not called us to go through life wearing the grave clothes of death. He has delivered us from the bondage of sin, delivered us and raised us up to sit with Him in a plane that's higher than that. Folks, it is not our righteousness. It is not our power. It's not about who I am and my ability to, because I'm a holiness person, to be able to write, no, holiness is only possible by the blood of Jesus Christ and His power working in my life to be raised from a dead state of sin, dead in my trespasses and sins. Oh, I'm so thankful there's a better way tonight than to be told that I commit sin and I come unto Jesus and I ask His forgiveness. Paul addressed this in Romans 6 and 1. And I say, Lord, have mercy upon me. Give me grace to cover this. And I go back out and I commit sin again. How long is it before the blood of Jesus loses its power? How long is it before I say I've lost the ability, the power of Jesus working within my life? Instead, He told the woman caught in adultery, go and sin no more. Oh, He's still in the business of making new creatures. He's still in the business of taking a dead state of sin, raising it up and giving it life and breathing new life, spiritual life into its nostrils. You know, we can sit in this very assembly and enjoy the songs that are sung to a degree. Enjoy the harmony and enjoy visiting. But let me tell you, when there's life inside, there's something that rings true about those songs. There's something that rings true about the testimonies of the brothers and sisters. And I can say I too have been risen to live with Christ instead. As Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ that liveth within me. It's Christ's life that's given to me. So we read further down there, 1 Corinthians 15. And it says, well, let's just turn and read it. The last part of 1 Corinthians 15. It says, O death. Oh, we'll go one higher. 54. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? Serpent, where's your sting now? Where's the effect of that venom now? Death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. And the blood of Jesus Christ has been given to remedy the problem of sin, to overcome the power of sin. That's taken away the strength of sin. This is the law, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him and His resurrection, we also can be partakers in the likeness of His resurrection, to be raised from our dead state of sin to newness of life, a new creature, a new heart, new desires that He can put within our heart. And we can look at it sometimes and say, how could it be? I know the desires that I feel. I know the struggles that I have. I know the times that I've tried before and before and before. But I want to declare to you tonight the power of the blood of Jesus. Folks, it was given for an atonement of those sins, of the sting of sin in our life. Thank the Lord that we can be partakers of His resurrection. But I'm not finished with John chapter 5. For as the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He given to the Son to have life in Himself, and hath given Him authority to execute judgment also, because He is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear His voice. And shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Now He's worded it a little differently. He said the time is coming. That day is coming for every one of us. A day is coming when they that are in the graves will hear His voice. We read in the book of Revelation. It says, they that are partakers of the first resurrection Over them the second death hath no power, because the sting of death is sin. That's where death's strength is. That's the victory of death for Satan. But Jesus has taken the sting out of that by the blood of Jesus. Those that are partakers in His resurrection have been raised from a dead state of sin. Folks, we can also have this hope within us that we can be partakers of the second resurrection. And the second death, which Revelation also defines as death in hell, everlasting burning. Remember, Jesus said that if as Moses lifted up the serpent, I also be lifted up, that ye may have everlasting life, that ye may be raised to life here and hope of life eternal through Jesus Christ. I am so thankful tonight that we have the privilege of being able to look unto Jesus. And if we find ourselves in a place that sin has started to take its effect, then I'm starting to realize that the sinfulness of the world around me is starting to have an effect within me. Lord, help every one of us to examine myself. Am I alive? Do I have spiritual life within? Or am I still languishing in my sins tonight? Folks, the price has been paid. That's what the atonement is. To reconcile into one by paying a price that we could never pay. Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all to offer unto us still today. There's an escape. There is an anti-venom for the sting of the serpent. You pray for me. Amen.